Hey!
Do you like teen dramas?
Do you like teens?
Do you like watching TV shows?
If you do, you might like watching The OC. So give it a try, and you can listen to us in podcast form on the Bro-C. We talk about flip phones.
We talk about tube tops.
We talk about things from the early 2000s.
We talk about people smooching other people.
Ooh, and great, great music.
Yep.
So hey, listen to us on iTunes or SoundCloud here on the Nerdist School Network.
Woo.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.
Hey, foodie callers. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every week. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Fun fact, leaving a review makes a huge difference with iTunes and helps us bring you more Foodie Call every freaking week. Did you know we're also on social media? You can follow us for live foodie updates on Instagram and Twitter at Foodie Call Pod. And for recipes and confusing posts from my great aunt Virginia, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast. Got a suggestion for a guest or want some meat sale advice from Omar? Shoot us an email, foodiecallpodcast@gmail.com. Did you get all that? For our social security and credit card numbers, listen to the end of this show. Thanks so much for listening. We love you way more than grocery flyers.
Foodie, 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 foodie,
foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie, foodie,
foodie, foodie. Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Foodie Call, where each week we discuss one delicious food dish with a hilarious guest and find out what their secrets are in the kitchen. I'm your host, Kylie Hodges, TV host, producer, and I have fallen off the healthy eating bandwagon. Yeah. I know. Sitting right next to me is Omar Nava, comedian, writer, and you didn't give me a thing to say here.
Oh, you didn't ask. Driver of the healthy fooding bandwagon.
He's the one that pulls the veggie chips out of my hand and says, maybe let's eat a real meal.
Let's
now.
Just cut back on the veggie chips.
And together, through Omar telling me not to eat a whole bag of veggie chips and our disgustingly adorable love for each other, we have found we also love to cook and eat together, and we want to discuss with the world what it is that makes food so great. Yay!
Yeah. What is it, world? What
These
is it that makes
questions.
Food so great?
Well, our upcoming guest is very exciting. I'm happy to bring him on. I think this is going to be a great interview. And this week's episode is all about roasted chicken. But before we get into that, what was your sweet spot and sour moment of the week?
My sweet spot of the week was I made some fresh homemade salsa this past week.
I bought
some Hatch chilies from Sprouts. They were on, I don't know if they were on sale, but, you know, it's Hatch chili season, guys. We all know this, right? For those who don't know, Hatch chilies are named for the city in New Mexico that, I guess, the area of New Mexico where these chili peppers are grown. They're long, skinny, green peppers, and they're really spicy, and I bought, like, a big old bag of them because I saw them at Sprouts, and I thought, I'm gonna try to make a salsa. And I called my mom, and I was like, hey, mom, how do I make a salsa? And she's like, well, usually we use jalapenos. And I was like, okay, so no help. But I just did what I've seen my grandmas and my mom do in the past, which is you just kind of roast the chilies on a pan, get the skins nice and burnt, and then take those off, blanch them in cold water, de-seed and vein them, so you just have the, I don't know, pepper meat. I don't know the terminology.
Yeah.
And then I actually looked up a recipe online. It was with tomatillos, and I told Kylie, I told you to get 2 pounds of tomatillos.
Woman, fetch me 2 pounds of tomatillos. That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, that was exactly how I said it. And then I threw a log at you.
Oh.
No, I didn't throw a log at you. But 2 pounds of tomatillos, and then I made like 4 cups of salsa from this, and I didn't expect it. For some reason, I just wasn't paying attention to like the amounts and everything. And so we have like a lot of salsa. If any of you guys want some, please feel free to come get some salsa.
This is a perfect moment for me to talk about my sweet spot.
Oh,
which is this Friday. I hosted another dinner party with the Kitchen Table app, which I mentioned before. I did it over my birthday and it was really fun. I swear this is not a sponsored post. I actually really like this app and I had a really fun time doing it. And this time, so the last time I hosted with them, it was my birthday, so all my friends came. And this time, it was pretty much all strangers that sat with me.
Yeah.
And you came this time, and it was so fun.
The biggest stranger of all.
Yeah.
Me.
The theme was tapas and sangria. And we had a really interesting mix of people. Like, one of the girls who's sitting at our table is a world champion dodgeball player.
Yeah, she played in the World Cup of dodgeball and won in Manchester.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. There was a lot of really interesting people. So if you are in the LA area, I really recommend download the Kitchen Table app. Or actually, I don't know if that's limited to LA. Just download the app, Kitchen Table app. And you can basically look up and see what dinner parties are going on in your area. And you can join them or you can host your own. And I will be hosting my own with Omar on October 14th. And it's a queso party, but also a podcast party. There's only limited seats. So download the app and sign up. Come to our house October 14th. We'll feed you queso. And we're going to have a very special podcast episode with our guests.
Yep.
So I hope you guys can come.
The day before the Ides of October.
I don't know what that is.
The Ides of March, 15th of March. All right, whatever.
Oh my God, breaking news, breaking news. We don't have time for sour moments anymore because my brother sent me a text message and his wife is in labor.
Uh-oh.
My sister-in-law Kelly is pregnant and she is the mother of my world's favorite niece. My favorite niece, my only niece. She's the best. She's the cutest. Her name is Madeline. She is so funny and awesome. She's
adorable.
And the phone's blowing up. There's another baby on the way. We don't know what it's going to be, but she's due October 1st. And it looks like I called my brother today and he hasn't called me back in hours. And I just knew, part of me was like, I think Kelly's in labor. And he finally just texted me back and said she's been having frequent contractions today. We might be having a baby soon.
But it could be one of those things where where she might just be having contractions and then the doctor's like, nah, go home and walk it off.
Maybe, but we're recording this on the 24th, so.
That's true.
Six it days is. Before your due date is, or seven days. Wait, how many days are in October, or September?
30.
Okay, a week, this could truly be go time.
Yeah.
Anyways, by the time you guys listen to this, I'll probably already have a niece or nephew, so we will keep you guys updated
on social media. So there is no sour moment.
There's no sour moment. That's the sweetest moment of them all.
Moment of them all.
Yay. Well, I was going to say my sour moment was cleaning the apartment this week, and I did like a very thorough cleaning, and it was just like a real eye opener that I should maybe try harder to just clean regularly instead of a mass clean.
And we're not particularly messy people, but
just like Southern California with the windows open, the dirt gets built up.
And then plus every now and then we'll have our door or window open, and then some guy with a leaf blower will just come, not like a random dude, but like, you know, they hire the guys to come and like clean and tend the leaves and the grass and everything. And then some guy with a leaf blower will just come and blow dust while our doors are open and just blow dust all over everything. Then we have a film of dust over everything.
Omi, you know what it's time for?
What?
Deals and steals.
Deals and steals, y'all.
Yeah, we still don't have an intro to this segment. We probably won't by the time this episode comes
deals
out.
And steals.
Oh, that's a nice. Is that it? Did I just talk over your intro?
Yeah, you ruined it.
All right. Well, give them the deals and steals.
All right. As we all know, I look at Sprouts because I'm paid by Sprouts. No, I'm not. I wish. Sprouts, if you're listening.
Sprouts, are you listening? Help us.
Listen to all this free business I'm getting you. I got some pretty good ones this week. I feel like last week they weren't that good, but this week we got 69 cents a pound Gala apples. Some might say apples are heavy, but, you know, you can still get them for fairly cheap here.
I feel like that was a dig at our last guest. It was she's a probably sub-tweet. Not listening
no,
to this.
No, she's never going
to
listen ever again. But no, you guys have all heard when I was like, yeah, whatever price per pear. And she's like, well, pears are heavy. And I was like, okay, well, you didn't say if it was a good or bad deal.
Like that people didn't feel as enthusiastic about his flyer deals as he did.
Well, but also the pears were half as cheap as the peaches. So
and
it was a good
and
deal.
And fruits are heavy. It's not, it's still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
Anyway. Red or green bell peppers, 2 for $1. 50 cents a bell pepper. That's pretty good. Strawberries, a pound of strawberries for $1.50, or 2 for $3, as they say. Guess what, you guys? It's fall. Football has started. Getting chilly. Getting a little chilly during the days and nights. You know what that means? Soup season. And what do you need to make a good soup? A nice broth. Pacific Organic Soup or Broth, 2 for $5. It's not an especially great deal, but, you know, it's organic, so I guess that's pretty good. $2.50 for a soup or a broth.
Yeah.
$3.99 for...
By the way, if anybody can hear the sirens going off, I feel like today's episode is just filled with noises, which maybe the people will be able to hear and maybe they won't, but...
Maybe not.
Today has been an exceptionally noisy day in West Hollywood.
Also, we recorded with our windows and door open. Because
but, like, I feel like that's not... It's been extra noisy today in the air.
I guess
so. A lot
of
planes.
But also, if we had our windows and door closed, we wouldn't be able to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, raw almonds or walnuts, $3.99 a pound.
Mmm.
Get your parfait game going, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Your granola game to the next level. Or you can get, like, make one of those, like... almond encrusted whatever chickens or salmon or something. 2 for $5 golden ripe pineapples. Get them before summer's over. I guess summer's over, but whatever. Get them before it gets too cold. You can still grill them. Also, pineapple juice is a great what do you call it? To like marinate. Helps with making marinades for meat because of the bromelain in it. It's a protein, or it's a enzyme that breaks down proteins. So a lot of people usually use like some sort of citrus, but pineapple juice is a good one. And then as far as meats are concerned, you can get a lobster tail for $6.99 or a pound of tilapia for $6.99, which is pretty good. You know, get yourself a nice little half pound of tilapia. That's 2 servings for whatever, $3.50. It's not bad. $1.25 per serving.
No, not bad. I gotta be honest, I stopped listening. I started
can tell.
Thinking about what
She's
it's like
yelping.
Having... No, I got well
You are yelping.
I am yelping for a reason I was about to say in a moment, but I'm really excited about having a new niece or nephew.
So excited that she's going to celebrate by going to Kara's Tacos Way, which is what she's yelping.
Okay, a fan of the show, Jason Eichler, suggested that we read our favorite Yelp review every week on the show.
Oh, right. New segment.
Yeah, but you ruined the fun.
Well, sorry.
Also, I haven't really found a Yelp review that I love, so...
Because you just...
I literally just started searching because I forgot. I forgot before we started rolling.
And when better to think about it than during deals and steals?
I'm sorry.
Every week we have a fake fight on this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like...
The only reason people keep tuning in. It's a whole will they, won't they thing going.
Well, and also like our friend Maya was over recently and I was like really razzing you. And I've realized that I just like fighting with you in front of people, but we don't fight when it's just the two of us.
No. Not.
I just like pretending.
Yeah. Pretending to fight is fun. Is it? I don't know.
Do you not like that I'm razzing
you?
No,
I don't mind it. But then what do other people think?
Well, they love it. That's why we're the number one podcast in the world.
The number one rated podcast on iTunes.
Speaking of which, if you haven't already, please, please, please. Go to iTunes right now, hit pause and leave us a 5-star review. And look, okay, if you don't want to give us 5 stars, give us the stars you want to give us, but then explain in the review why we don't have 5. We love you guys so much, and we're really supportive of everybody's support, but these reviews truly make a difference with our visibility, getting better guests, blah, 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 not recording in our living room anymore. So give us a great review, and also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FoodieCallPod. All right, should we move on to our guest?
Yeah, you're not going to do the Yelp thing?
No, I didn't find a good review in time. Stay all tuned right. For next week.
Next week, introduce a new segment.
Okay, this guest is really Yelp. Funny, really I nice. He knows everything there is to know about any classic literature book that you've ever read, and he loves chicken.
It's time for a foodie call.
All right, today's guest has been on the comedy scene for a hot minute. You've most likely seen him on the super popular YouTube show Thug Notes, where he gives a breakdown of classic literature for the streets. The show gets millions of views, guys. This is no joke. He's also a man after my own heart, as he's appeared on Tavis Smiley's show on PBS, and I'm going through a big PBS obsession right now. And he's also worked with some of the greatest comics out there, like Dave Chappelle, Patrice O'Neill, Damon Wayans, Bill Burr, Charlie Murphy, Maria Bamford, and more. His latest comedy album, Foodie Call, You Greg, is out now and free to stream on gregcomedy.com and SoundCloud. Welcome, Greg Edwards!
Oh, that was so beautiful!
You approve? You like that?
Oh, you put Foodie Call.
You Greg, man.
I mean, we're going to bleep it out, but yeah.
No. It's definitely going to get bleeped, but people will figure it out.
People have been very weird about that.
I'll put the bleep after the F so they know what word it is. Wait, fart you, Greg? I can't find
what's
it.
What's going on? It's like, Greg, why would you name that? Your comedy album that? And I was like, it's, you know, it's almost like I love you, Greg. You know, you know, we're comedians. We're kind of mean to each other. So
yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thank you so much. We're so happy that we could have you here.
You like Tavis. Tavis has like a cockeye, and nobody tells you he has a cockeye until you meet him.
Really?
Yeah.
You gotta find out the hard way.
It's like, whoa, he's big too. Yeah, yeah.
So you spend the whole time like trying to not look at the cockeye?
Yes, yeah, so just focusing on that good eye. And he's a big man, big hands. And he's wrote like 12 books. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
he's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I like to listen to a show. They play it on NPR. I like to stream it. Okay, let's talk about food.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you ate?
Today, the last thing I ate today, babe, my girlfriend's here. What's the last thing I ate today?
She didn't want to be on the podcast.
Oh yeah, I'm a big like I like to make guacamole. I make a pretty mean guacamole.
All right.
And now I've been making this guacamole salsa with tomatillo instead of tomatoes, and it's pretty bomb. And I had that today.
That it's is like literally the salsa Omar just made combined with my guacamole. I love
guacamole
to make guac too.
On Friday, and I made salsa also on Friday, or maybe Saturday.
Yeah.
No, or Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
So we could have just combined it all and made your breakfast.
We gotta have a salsa party.
Yeah, yeah. Get a collab going.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
What do you like in your guac? I'm pretty ingredient heavy with my guacamole.
Avocados, of course. Onions, tomatoes, cilantro. Lemon lime and some garlic. Salt. Yeah.
That's what you use.
People are so weird about cilantro, though. Some people are really like anti-cilantro. And I like
sticks.
To add it.
Is it the sticks? Because people, I know some people don't like the sticks of it.
Oh, yeah. I try to always make sure I'm just using the leaf. Yeah. But it's the flavor is really particular.
You know what, though? We just found out from one of our last guests that the cilantro stem actually has the most flavor, cilantro flavor.
Really? We learned that?
Yes. You don't... All right.
I forgot.
You got to chop it down really fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I don't mind the sticks. And I love cilantro. You got
I like cilantro.
We're not those people that like... You know, there's like cilantro. Half the population like can't stand the taste.
Yeah.
We're
Your sister that. Hates cilantro, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought she did. But I also... I love garlic. So I like to put a lot of garlic in my guacamole. I'll do fresh garlic, but then I'll also do garlic salt.
Ooh, okay.
Give it like a punch of salt.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's also like if I'm feeling lazy and don't feel like adding more fresh garlic.
Makes sense.
There's that garlic salt.
I know people that put eggs in their guacamole, like boiled eggs. And they chop the yolk up.
Yeah, really?
Like egg salad with guac?
Well, just make it thicker, I guess. But I've never done that. I don't know if people have.
And you're getting protein, so it's kind of a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. So what should be good for you?
This is completely unrelated, except for the fact that it's about protein. But Omar and I just learned from somebody that there is a type of, it's called a sea snail. Nobody ever really eats it, but mm-hmm. it is edible. But it's like one of those things that gets fished when fishermen are fishing for other things.
Yeah. Yeah. It like gets caught in the crab mm-hmm. Traps.
And a sea snail has one sea snail has 40 grams of protein.
40 grams?
Isn't that crazy? I feel like that's going to be the new bodybuilder like obsession once it becomes mainstream. Like
someone's sucking a snail out of a shell.
Oh, we haven't had it. But she, the person telling us about it, she owns like a seafood company. And she was telling us it's really delicious with like, I think she was talking about just parsley and like lemon juice.
Yeah, she was like, you cook it up like and escargot. You cut it up so people don't, because people get weirded out by, you know, the look of a snail. But you cut it up so that it's just like in little like squares or rectangles. Okay. And then she said it's kind of like a... Well, similar to like crab or like something like that.
Wow, that might be the
texture.
I know. Yeah. We need to start that right here, right now. Sea snails, guys. Yeah.
This is the new kale. Snail.
New kale snail.
Yeah, there it is.
Full of ideas.
Try and sell that t-shirt at the Comedy Store, Omar. I dare you. Okay, what is your favorite food of all time?
Ooh, all time. Okay, two favorite foods of all time. You guys laughed at me a little bit about it earlier. I love potatoes and onions. I'm a simple...
That's great.
I just like chopped potatoes, smothered potatoes with chopped yellow onions together, garlic, salt, pepper. My mom used to make that all the time. And I love pound cake.
Ooh,
pound cake. My grandma used to make this bomb pound cake. Like, every time she saw me, she used to make it for my birthday. I wouldn't give it to people. Like, people were like, my friends, my family, like, can I get a slice? I'm like, no, that's
my birthday.
Yeah, so I love pound cake. I love, smothered potatoes. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Things. Well, yeah. Those are my favorite stuff.
It sounds like you're easy to please, though.
Yeah, I'm super chill. I'm like, I'll eat anything. Like, my girlfriend and her friends went out for sushi, and they just brought a whole bunch of sushi home. And she was like, eat some tonight because we don't like leftover sushi. And I was like, I'll eat leftover sushi. She killed all of it. Yeah, it was great. Wow. Yeah, easy.
What is your, do you like to cook?
I love to cook.
What is your favorite dish to cook?
I like making baked chicken. I like making fried fish.
What kind of fish?
Tilapia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love making salmon. I like making guacamole, salsa. Carnitas.
Mm.
A lot of Latin flair in your cooking, huh?
Someone was telling me, like, yo, man, what's going on? Are you trying to take it? Are you trying to appropriate?
Yeah.
I just love it. I think, Latinos, I love the way they cook, and I love the spices.
Yeah.
It's great, and it's a lot of family.
Yeah.
It's family meals, you mm-hmm. know what
yeah.
I mean? Big platters of food, so.
Very comfort foody.
It is. Everybody can eat.
So when you said you like to make baked chicken, what kind of seasonings do you put on your chicken?
Simple. I'll like pepper,
mm-hmm.
And then I'll do like Lowry's seasoning.
Oh, that's good though. Yeah, it's already done for you.
It's already done. Boom, boom, boom. And I rub it in real good.
Yeah.
And I have like these cast iron skillets that I swear by. I have two of them, one's big, one's small, and it just keeps the seasoning all in. And yeah.
That's
my babies. And I'm cooking all the time. If you're at our house, food is there.
Yum.
Totally.
We're coming over. Yeah. We'll bring the guac.
We'll definitely feed you.
We'll have a guacamole competition
smoothies.
To see whose is better.
Make awesome smoothies in the morning.
Ooh, yum. What do you put in a smoothie?
Frozen bananas. Everything's frozen. Just frozen bananas, frozen strawberries, orange juice, a little bit of water. Boom, and whatever, you know.
Snail for protein.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, I think you guys are going to something. And you're right, because those bodybuilders.
Yeah, man, they just want protein.
Grams? That's a lot. Dope. Let's start a business.
It's like instead of almonds, they're just popping in snails.
A snail truck.
Yeah.
You'll just park outside of gyms.
Yeah.
I just picture guys who are bodybuilding who will be like, give me 3 snails.
That's a great idea.
All right. Well, now we've got a business planned out. Perfect. Do you have a favorite restaurant in L.A.?
Ooh. My favorite restaurant in L.A. is probably El Gran Burrito on the corner of Vermont and Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's right by the...
I know what you're talking about. It's like right next to the metro station. Yeah, yeah.
It's a burrito spot. They do like these rotisseries.
They're, yeah, they always smells like the rotisserie chicken. I've never had it either, but it smells delicious.
Those burritos are amazing.
I don't think I've taken you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm familiar with this.
I've only eaten there like
once,
just because I think I was like on the train trying to get somewhere, and I just like popped out, or I think there's an open mic around there. The Hollywood Hotel, right? Yeah, so maybe that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I just like walked over and got the something. I don't remember what I got.
Yeah, wet burrito. That's pretty wild.
Yeah?
And they call it, I was asking a friend about that burrito spot, and they was like, oh, yeah, you mean gay burrito? And I was like, gay burrito? Why do you call it gay burrito? And it was like, it's a gay club, like, right down the street from there. And when it lets out at 2 in the morning, everybody go over there. And maybe we were going on a trip recently, and we went to get like breakfast burritos before we went on the trip. Uh-huh. And they had just made a new signboard, and up there they have gay burritos. So you can actually order a gay burrito at El Gran.
That's dope.
Burrito. I wonder what makes it gay.
It's just like, that's our thing. Yeah.
People love this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like chorizo in it, or like what makes it gay. It's like double chorizo. Yeah.
So good. So good.
Is it by that, there's like that gay Latino club where it's like, we see all the gay cowboys walking into it.
Oh, I know what you're
talking
about.
It's on Santa Monica. Oh, Santa Monica and Western,
Santa Monica,
I think.
Santa Monica
Western. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Talking
it's in
about.
Like a
yeah,
strip
yeah,
mall.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in that.
Right? Right. I want to go in there.
Yeah. We drive by, we're like,
yeah.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, yeah, they have the shiniest belt buckles, the cowboy hats, their button-up shirts are tucked into their pants, and then the super pointy cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go.
We're going to guacamole.
Right. Okay, so I want to move back in time a little bit. Let's talk about your childhood. This is no therapy session, I promise. What was, like, your favorite food growing up, and, like, what was it like in the kitchen at your house?
My mom cooked quite a bit. And I think she was a good cook. My grandma was just such a good cook that I think it kind of messed with her a little bit. She
really?
I think she just wanted to learn how to cook so much better because of my grandma on my dad's side.
Yeah.
But my mom was always cooking. She made great meals, hearty meals. My mom would make this bomb soup. Like, I lived in Virginia, so we would always get, like, tornadoes or, like, hurricanes all the time. And, like, our lights would go out at least twice a year because of the hurricane. So she would prepare by making this big pot of, like, we called it everything soup, like everything that was in there, tomatoes, and it was just so good.
Mm.
But yeah, my parents cooked quite a bit. My dad didn't make us a lot of food, but he was great at making breakfast stuff. He would make salmon cakes.
Ooh.
Just salmon with flour, and he'd fry them. He was great at breakfast.
That's a sophisticated breakfast dish, too. Because I was going to say, I feel like it's a dad thing to be good at breakfast, because that's the only thing my dad ever cooked. But there weren't salmon cakes. It was like pancakes and eggs. That's also great.
I'm
good at breakfast.
You good? See?
Yeah.
Perfect day.
Yeah, I'm about to.
Uh-oh. Let's not go pushing anything on us.
No. Not what I'm implying. But I am ready.
What do you make for breakfast? What's your breakfast?
Oh, man. I don't know. I like to just make whatever. I just look in the fridge and see what we got, and then I just make whatever. Like, this morning we just made, like, an egg scramble with, like, some bell peppers and onions and spinach, but then, like, with some avocado toast on the side.
Oh, man. So, come on. That's not just nothing.
Oh, yeah. I just throw a little something together.
Peppers scramble. That's awesome.
Yeah. Depends, you know.
Yeah. Omar's very health conscious when we're cooking. Like, if I'm really hungry, I'll be like, give me a whole bag of veggie chips. And I want to eat them all in one sitting. And Omar will be like, how about let's make a healthy scramble. Let's put some spinach in it. It'll take me 5 minutes. And I'm like licking my fingers, wishing I had more veggie chips. But he calms me down. He's the rational one.
Yeah.
So what?
Omar comes in handy.
What if instead we divert that hunger into productivity?
So So when I asked you what your favorite, or when Omar asked you what your favorite food was, you responded with a bunch of different options, which I loved. Potatoes, onions, fresh chicken.
Family feud. It was like five different answers.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. Survey says.
But I liked that you said rotisserie chicken because I feel like chicken, a good roasted chicken doesn't get enough love in the world.
Yeah, totally.
Why do you like rotisserie chicken?
I like rotisserie because it's visual, you know, like I like to just see it spin.
Yeah.
Right? And then I like it when people put the potatoes at the bottom so like the juices from the chicken.
Yeah.
It's like pouring a little bit. it's gorgeous. And it's something about, you know, cooking over a flame that the scent just makes everybody just smell it and makes everybody happy. And it's family, you know, like, you know, everybody comes together, we got this big chicken, everybody can get some, and it's great. And I just think it tastes better. I like fried chicken, I like baked chicken, but it's something about rotisserie, just that spin cycle. That just does it.
And the skin is, like, crispy but not fried, so I feel like it's the best of both worlds, too.
It's...
have you ever had Peruvian chicken?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's like rotisserie chicken, but I don't know. Maybe they just use different seasonings.
I think it's broasted. So, like, they pressure cook it to get it almost I think so. Maybe there's multiple ways to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe there's not even one set way, but there's a Peruvian restaurant that I like to go to down... Yeah. I guess it's like Gardena, Torrance area.
Okay.
I used to go there a lot when I worked in Torrance, and they just had all these chickens on the rotisserie, just turning and turning. You just go and order like a quarter chicken or a half chicken, and we'd go for work and just get like a half chicken for the four of us and a bunch of sides like French fries and stuff. And
I love chicken. And fries.
Really good.
Well, all right. Yeah. Please, you gotta give me the name of the
restaurant. Yeah, I'll text it to you. I already forgot. I think it's called Pollo a la Brasa.
A la brasa?
A la brasa, yeah.
We'll still have to write it down.
Yeah, I'll text it to you later.
That sounds great. I don't think I've had much Peruvian food.
It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's very comfort foody as well. Yeah. And when I went to South America, I went to Chile, but the best food I ate was Peruvian. So I think that says something.
They got ceviche.
I guess that's like going to America and saying the Mexican food is great.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, the food, when I was in Mexico City, the food was great.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it just reminded me so much of the food that's already in L.A.
Yeah.
In California, too.
Yeah.
He was the guy that I was texting or messaging about Mexico City before.
Oh,
we
really?
Went. Yeah.
What were you there for?
We had taken a trip, an anniversary trip, and we went.
Where she's like, looking like you better get it right.
Don't screw this up.
First day would be Oaxaca.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. And they were just hit by the first earthquake of the few that have hit.
Such a beautiful place.
It is.
So much history. The people were very friendly and nice. Everybody thought I was Cuban.
Did they?
Oh, man.
I could see that.
Cubano.
Yeah.
Cubano. Cubano. Oh, my God. African Americano. Yeah. It was great. It was so nice. Yeah, it was really nice.
Do you speak Spanish?
I speak un poquito Spanish. Janelle speaks it fluently.
Cool. He's trying to bring you on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my girlfriend speaks Spanish fluently. she's trying to help. I'm doing Duolingo right now.
Cool,
better at it. Yeah. But I want to speak Spanish fluently. Just being from the East Coast, being from Virginia, it just wasn't a lot of... The only Spanish we spoke was a lot of Puerto Ricans in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty much some Dominicans just because I'm from New York and the military aspect of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. And then moving out here, there's so many like Mexican, American, so many Salvadorians that I've just like, you know, made such good friends with. I would love to learn the language more.
You got to hang out with Omar more.
Hell
he's
yeah.
fluent.
Yeah, but I don't speak it.
You could if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess. I'm only going to talk to you in Spanish now.
Perfect.
I got to be honest, though. Like, when we go, like, when we were in Mexico, and when I'm speaking in Spanish with Omar, I can't understand Omar very well.
What? Really?
You're kind of a mumbly Spanish speaker.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
Right?
Huh?
It's that therapist.
Yeah.
Therapist Spanish.
And like it's just it seems like it's sort of just falling out of your mouth. You're not putting in a ton of effort to like enunciate.
That's funny because I make fun of Puerto Ricans and Cubans for not enunciating their
Spanish. That's another level. Yeah,
right? It's so hot. It's so hot. Right?
One of my favorite jokes is, yeah. One of my favorite jokes is I like to say that Puerto Ricans sound like deaf Mexicans. You know, they're like, oh, blah.
We lost all of our Puerto Rican listeners. Oh, all right, well. Okay, I want to talk about comedy.
Okay.
I'm over chicken, although I love talking about chicken. Oh, wait, well, I did have one last question. Do you ever make your own roast chicken, or are you, like, you prefer to just go pick one up from, like, a store or something?
Mostly, if I'm making chicken, I'm baking it. Sometimes I'll make fried chicken.
Yeah.
Eat it all the time. I prefer to just bake it.
Yeah, that's a different animal when you're frying it. You got to be patient, not burn yourself.
It takes a long time. Yeah. My coworkers love fried chicken, so I'll make it for them. I prefer baked chicken.
Do you have a Dutch oven?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You have a nice blue one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love making a roast chicken in the Dutch oven because it's so easy. Just put like a layer of potatoes or carrots, onions, celery on the bottom. And then you can do it a couple ways. You can cut the breastbone out of the chicken to open it up. But that's kind of a lot of work. Or
spatchcock.
That's called spatchcocking. Yeah, so you kind of like butterfly the whole chicken. And it gets it a little crispier. Or just like rub it with butter and any herbs that you have in your fridge pretty much. Like parsley, thyme, rosemary. We like to steal the rosemary from all the bushes in the neighborhood because I hate. Yeah, there's a ton. Yeah. I encourage you when you leave here to go steal some. Yeah,
we're the rosemary bandits in the neighborhood.
But then when you roast your chicken, you have easily a whole meal in like an hour. Plus, you can make broth from that, and then you can whatever leftover chicken you have, like shred it up and make chicken salad. I'm a big roast chicken advocate.
When I first met her, I took her to Roscoe's and she left so much meat on the bone. And now she's like telling me how to use everything. Yeah.
The first time.
Cartilage, make a broth.
I love cartilage. I'm a cartilage eater.
Are you really?
My girlfriend gets you like Janelle.
That's
like,
gross.
My mom's a cartilage eater.
My mom and grandma love to eat it too.
Really?
Yeah.
People eat the cartilage?
My bone is a bone.
My mom claims it's good for your joints. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't see why not.
It's a joint, right?
Yeah.
The joint for the joint.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, the chewing it is not enjoyable.
Oh, it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're like killing someone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it.
So you chew it up and swallow it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like a dog. Like a real dog. Yeah. Sometimes I don't even notice myself doing it. And next thing you know, the bone is just like a bone.
I mean, you're probably healthier than all of us. All of us non-cartilage eaters.
Cartilage eaters.
Okay, so let's talk about Thug Notes.
Yeah.
What a fun show. I was just watching it was an old one. It was the one about To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay, that was one of our first ones.
Yeah. It was. So you've been doing it for about 4 years?
Oh, man, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how you became the Thug Notes guy.
I started doing comedy in San Francisco. I moved there when I was 20, going on 21. I started doing comedy, and I met a lot of comedians there. W. Kamau Bell, who just won the Emmys on CNN, and a guy named Kevin Avery, who's a writer on Jim Jefferies' show, and he wrote on John Oliver's show.
Oh, wow.
Just won 2 Emmys.
Yeah.
Good buddies of mine. And they were like my mentors in San Francisco. They really helped me out a lot. And one of the guy that created Thug Notes worked as an intern on W. Kamau Bell's show. And he had this idea, and he was like, hey, man, I got this idea about this character, black dude, super smart, thug character. Do you know any black actors that would be good for it?
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin was like, yeah, my buddy Greg, you know, he just moved to L.A. I auditioned for it. I didn't think this would do anything. You know, I just thought it was like a funny character and stuff. And we did the first couple of episodes, and it was kind of plain Jane. They didn't really, like, add, like, graphics to it. And then they added graphics to it, and then it just kind of, like, blew up. You know, people started a lot of different digital sites, picked it up, and it caught steam, and yeah, people love it. I'm always surprised. I'm always surprised when people stop me on the street sometimes. I was at a burrito shop in San Francisco, just killing the burrito.
Yeah.
And some dude's like, Thug notes! Just scream, thug! Yo, thug! And I'm like, hey, man.
I'm having a moment with my burrito, yeah, please.
Come on. Yeah, this is great. It's been a lot of fun.
What's the character's name? Sparky Sweets.
Mm-hmm.
PhD.
Sweets. Yeah. People love it, though. It's cool.
Millions of views.
A lot of teachers are into it.
Yeah.
People like college kids see me and they're like, man, you really helped me out. Which is, I love that. I love that aspect of it. It's cool and it's great. Yeah.
Has anyone ever come up to you and been like, hey, I love Thug Notes, but you got this part wrong or something like that?
Oh,
has anyone ever corrected
you? Yeah, do people criticize?
Totally.
Really?
This accent was bad. I don't like the way you guys did this part. And some people don't even like the whole, you know, why are you doing this thug character, man? You know, as black folks, we don't need this whole. So, you know, I respect everybody's view on it. You know, I'm still going to do it regardless.
Right.
But as far as, like, the books, they're not like, you know, actually, Iago wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I tell them, like, email this guy. Email this dude. Some people, I mean, the people that really love the show really follow everything. There's a lot of book-heavy nerds.
Yeah.
I hate to say nerds, but just book-heavy people that are just really into literature that want to correct us, you know?
Sure.
They do it. They really do it.
They're not shy.
At all.
Has Thug Notes gotten you to read something that you wouldn't have normally read otherwise?
Yeah, it's opened up my eyes to different authors that some of the books that we did, some of the books that I had to read in high school that I did read, but I only read them as sort of like pass a test or something like that. It made me go back and, you know, reread them again. I didn't know I was such a big fan of Beowulf.
That's a good story.
It is such a great story. And like, it's like one of the oldest stories ever. It's really opened up my eyes to a lot of things and authors that I'm like, hey, I like this book. Let me check this out. And just different issues, feminist books, you know, just a lot of, it's really opened my eyes to things that I didn't think of before. Yeah.
The internet changing lives.
Flipping everything.
I wish Thug Notes was around when I was in college and taking that lit class where I was like, I don't think I ever finished a book in college. I would read like halfway through and then be like, Spark Notes. That was the website that I would use.
That's Thug Notes.
Yeah. Thug Notes is even faster than Spark Notes.
Yeah.
And it makes you remember it more because you have visuals, sound, everything. You hear my gravelly voice. It's great. I really love it.
Has anybody ever confused you because of your voice for a different celebrity? Because I keep thinking about Ja Rule.
Ja Rule, that's funny. DMX.
Yeah.
You got a good bark.
All the gravelly voice dudes. Yeah. Tone Loke.
Who are some of your biggest comedy influences? Like, what made you want to get into comedy? Or who made you want to get into comedy?
Well, I mean, Eddie Murphy, you know, like, growing up, I used to, my cousins, I grew up very, like, in a super churchy home, so, like, I wasn't able to, like, watch the same things that everybody else was, could watch, because my parents were just like, you gotta watch that. So I had to go to my cousin's house to watch, like, all the filthy stuff. So, like, Eddie Murphy Raw, I remember the first time seeing that, but Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live, like, he has, like, a whole tape of, like, all the best of Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live. Yeah. It really influenced me. I love Gallagher. I love Gallagher. All the smashing of the fruit. and Chris Rock. I think Chris Rock's Bring the Pain album, the special, really did it for me. And Martin Lawrence's first special. And I remember listening to Martin Lawrence's Talking Dirty on CD in the ninth grade. And just like at night, like outside of my porch by myself, and I think that was the point where I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to tell jokes.
Yeah,
I think that was really it. And yeah, those guys really influenced me. Seinfeld, the comedian, that movie with Jerry Seinfeld and Orny Adams.
Oh yeah,
man. And I got to run into Orny Adams like maybe a couple years ago, and like we're friends now, which is just so crazy.
Is he still pissed about that?
I don't think so. He seemed very
pissed about what?
Because he got kind of railroaded.
It was just like the way they portrayed him. They portrayed him in like a, I don't know, just kind of like a whiny,
douchey
like, yeah. Because it was basically split between like Seinfeld, throwing away all his material and like starting over. And then Orny, this like newer up and coming comedian. And of course they made Seinfeld look like, oh, he's Seinfeld, and, you know, one of the greats. And then this new kid, Orny, he's just like complaining and like, I don't know, just like
breakdowns.
Breakdown. So people just had this like sour taste in their mouth from him. And then he was like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, why are you guys, you know, show me like that?
He was a good comic too. I think that kind of messed with his career. But he's still pushing.
Yeah, he's still going. I see his name every now and then. Yeah, he's still
headlining, still making a living off of it.
Oh, poor Orny. Yeah, poor Orny. I want to give him a hug.
Oh, yeah. It just lets me know, too, like, you, every opportunity isn't a good opportunity.
Oh, wow. That's some good wisdom.
You got to watch what you do. People will set you up to fail.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and I think also in the entertainment industry, for sure, everybody thinks that you have to be not thirsty, but you have to be open to whatever comes your way, because otherwise you're not considered willing to work hard enough or whatever. But saying no is usually more powerful than saying yes.
The best word in the English.
a lot of languages.
No, so strong.
Have you ever said no to something that you regret looking back? Have you ever said no to something really big that everybody around you was like, what are you doing?
No. I'm just starting to use no now. I'm starting to use that now. I wish I would have said no to some things, just time-wise, and like, that was a waste of time. I wasted, you know, 3 months doing some theater thing. But yeah, I'm really pushing myself to say no more and to look at things, to get all the information on things before I commit to like time, because that's all I have right now. It's just my time. You know?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your album. Where did you record it?
I recorded this album. Most of it is at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. Some of it is at Chatterbox in Covina.
Cool.
And some of it is just at different independent shows in Los Angeles.
Cool.
So it's not all one long
thing. It's like a compilation. Yeah,
it's like a compilation.
Mixtape.
It's a mixtape, pretty much. Right on. Just like the first one I did. I think I'm going to just keep doing this, too, Omar.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'm focused on it. And, like, I already got my idea for my next one. And I'm like, you know, a Special Thing Records isn't knocking on my door. And yeah. None of these other comedy labels are knocking on my door. So I'm like, I'm just going to do it myself.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
It's for me. I mean, it's from people that like me and like my comedy, and people that like Thug Nuts and stuff. And it's free.
Yeah.
Is it all digital? Did you print CDs or is it called print?
Do you stand on Venice Boardwalk handing it out to people?
I just went to Fry's yesterday.
Shacks, 50 CD RWs.
No, I'm a do all that little thing.
You buy the CD RWs so that like it's comedy, but also just a CD if you want to rewrite.
You want to write over it? I really did. Yeah. I'm selling after my shows.
Good.
Why not?
Good for you. Okay, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Ooh.
I swear this isn't a job interview. Just curious.
Man, I'll be 10 years. I'll be 37 now. Hopefully, I'll be a headlining comic. Still going around. Maybe doing some TV roles. Executive producing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Having my hands in different pots. Having a house in my hometown. Because I want to buy a cheap house in my hometown and fix it up. And I want to buy a cabin in Joshua Tree. A cheap, dirty cabin in Joshua Tree to fix that up. And I'll be a very happy person.
Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
You like the desert?
Oh, I love the desert.
Really?
It's so peaceful.
Huh.
It's dark.
I'm from El Paso, very desert town, and so whenever, I just assume everyone hates the desert. You hate the
desert.
It's
because I had a bad experience. We camped in Joshua Tree, and I just couldn't handle the heat.
Oh, I couldn't care.
She nearly died.
I couldn't care. No.
It was hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the one chugging all the water, and I still was the one who got a heat stroke.
Yeah. She went and, like, sprawled out on one of the tables just to, like, get maximum, like, breeze flow, and then just, like, passed out for, like, an hour.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really hang.
Yeah.
But if I had a cabin, it'd be different.
Yeah, you had a cabin and a swimming pool.
Life is good.
You could do that cheap in Joshua Tree. We went up there. We found a nice Airbnb. kind of cheap too. And they had a pool, our own pool, big pool, jacuzzi, nice. Grill area. It was really nice. Yeah, I love that.
That's cool.
Oh, and that sounds
just
great.
Just something to get away from LA to some tourist places. It's
little escape.
Yeah.
Like two and a half hours.
Yeah.
Easy weekend trip. Nice. I love it. I'm a big fan. Okay, now this last question we ask all of our guests every time they're here.
Okay.
And you can choose how to answer it however you want, either literally, metaphorically, what have you. So the question is, what is your secret sauce?
Cooking, life, whatever.
This is nice. Okay. My secret sauce is just trying to help. I like helping people. Smile. I think a smile goes a long way.
That's smiling the biz, somebody said.
And just being nice, you know. I think people take niceness for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if everybody was nice to everybody and treated people, not just with respect, but actually being nice to people, man, this world would be so cool. A lot of things would get done. I think that's my sauce, man. My dad's a really good dude. He's a really nice person. And I feel like that lineage has come down to me. And, I just want to continue to just spread love and joy and niceness and encourage people.
I love that. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I also can back that up. I think anybody who wouldn't back that up is a monster. Nobody's gonna disagree with that one.
Yeah. Sometimes you do need to be mean, but just try to encourage people.
There's that one listener. Oh, what a dumb answer. Be mean. Be brutal.
Get that dude out of here.
Yeah.
Don't let people walk over you, though. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Be nice.
I like that. Well, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so fun having you.
It's been great. All this energy, good energy.
Tell everybody listening where they can find you on social media or anything you want to give a shout out to.
I'm Greg the Grouch on Twitter. I know that's funny. Me being said, be nice. Yeah,
Greg the Grouch.
Greg the Grouch on Twitter. My website is gregcomedy.com. I think it's Greg Comedy on Instagram. But yeah, just check my website out.
That's where your album is,
that
too.
That is my album. F.U. Greg. Check it out.
Be super nice fun to everyone. Greg the Grouch. F.U. Greg.
I got these inner demons going on, right?
Totally, who is the real Greg Edwards?
What's really wrong with Greg? Vice versa.
Well, we'll find out in the on your album, right?
Yeah. Check it out.
Fantastic.
The director's cut.
Yeah.
The deep cut. I send you guys the real album.
Yeah. The explicit version.
And anybody listening, you guys can follow us on social media at Foodie Call Pod and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/foodiecallpodcast, for updates, pictures, and more. Greg, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you guys for listening. Yay! Bye.